afraid of dying. It's the thought of being dead. I wanna go on being me once my eulogy's been read. Don't spread my ashes out to sea. Don't lay me down to rest. You can put my mind at ease if you fill my last request. Pop me up beside the jukebox if I die. Lord, I wanna go to heaven.
Country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone calling my name one day, and I followed that voice down a long highway.
absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge, every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle. And it's time for the Shooting Bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
All right. Once again, I come sliding into home plate here from a dinner I had in Sholo, and I got here just in time. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's the 21st of October, and it's Friday, and you know what that means. Right after the Shooting Bench. We're having a short Shooting Bench right now, an hour, and then we're going into Liberty Lounge at our normal time. And I'm thinking very seriously about abandoning this hour-long deal on Fridays and just kind of throw my news in as I can throughout the evening through Liberty Lounge, because it just on a Friday night, it's just got too many things going on. But I will have an answer for you by Monday for sure. What's going to happen? I'm going to spend some time thinking about this weekend and talk to Tinker and see what all is going on, and we'll see how that works out for now anyway. All right. There's we had some new friends here, some new neighbors, fairly new. And they invited us over to a place where I had never been before in Sholo. It's a nice place, outdoor. You can eat indoors or outdoors, and they're having kind of an Oktoberfest there tonight. And they had several other friends there. Now, these folks are from California, and they're good folks. All of their friends, every one of them that was there, there was one, two, three, four, five. There was about 10, maybe 12 of them there. Every one of them are shooters, anti-Hillary, anti-California. They're just all a good bunch of folks. I enjoyed it. So I had to cut it a little short to get here in time for this. So we'll see how that plays out here over the next few days. And I'll let you know Monday what we're going to do with it. And as I said, November 19th. Let me not do this backwards again. Next weekend, we'll be in Moriarty, New Mexico with a 3-day personal defense handgun class. And then we have, then the 19th of November, we'll have another community emergency response preparedness training in Snowflake, Arizona. And we've got a couple other things we're piecing together here before the 19th, so I'll have all that ready for you next week also. So trying to keep our schedule filled up here. Let's see, I need to get rid of that. And let's see if we can, have you guys heard, one of the biggest things I think in the news right now, other than the election stuff, which of course is bigger than anything, but apparently some hackers have shut down access to several very popular websites back east. Those popular websites are things like Twitter and Spotify and Reddit and the New York Times. They shut it down and they got it back up about, let's see, I think this was today. Yeah, it was today. and they got it back up and running a little after 9, and then about noon, went down again. They were attacked by some hackers out there somewhere. We don't know who the hackers are. We don't know anything about them, as far as I can tell by this story. So we don't know if it's Russians or Chinese or anonymous or just some geniuses that sat around drinking beer and decided they'd go and stir things up a little bit. So not sure exactly what to think about all this. It could lead in a number of directions here, but even if it is just a bunch of guys, then that shows how vulnerable our system is there if somebody actually wanted to do something to him. And if it's that vulnerable, then I'm wondering if, well, probably not. I'm just wondering if there's any correlation here whatsoever with this and the upcoming election. There's a lot of talk out there about rigged elections and rat hole, you know, stored ballots already filled out and all this stuff, and I don't know how much of it's true, and we'll probably never know. But it's getting close. What are we now? 2.5 weeks or so, something like that away. And nobody has any idea if we're going to see, you know, if Hillary does get in there. And a lot of people, I'm not going to discount it by any means. A lot of people are saying, well, it's already decided. It's already over and done. You know, we're just waiting for going through the formalities here of letting everybody know what's happening. And that'll be that. Well, we'll see. We'll see if it is, because I find it hard to believe. I find it exceedingly hard to believe that in a fair election that Hillary would have as much chance as a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest against Donald Trump. So we'll definitely find out here shortly. Speaking of that, you know, I had something. It just dawned on me, and I think I need to read this to you. It's kind of interesting. It was here it is right here. I'm going to read all of this to you. There's whoever sent it here has a little prelude here about what they think about the election and whatnot. So here's listen to this. It's kind of lengthy. Let's see. Let me make sure I'm starting in the right place here. Okay, take just a few minutes to do this. It says, are you sickened and despondent with the current campaign and upcoming presidential election? I consider myself a conservative and do truly believe our country is at a political, economic, moral, and social crossroads. I need to let you know that I could and would never vote for Hillary Clinton to lead this country. A trustworthy personal friend worked at the White House during Bill Clinton's administration. The tales you have heard regarding Hillary, published or reported by right-wing conservative media, are mild little anecdotes compared to reality. She is a deceitful, manipulative, self-serving, mean-spirited, callous, angry, power-hungry woman with absolutely no love of country or desire to see American traditions preserved or continued. My opinion is based on first-hand direct knowledge, not on rumors in the media. To me, she represents everything that is wrong with our current political structure. On the flip side, I look and listen to Donald Trump and I cringe at every rude, insulting comment he makes. If you find yourself in a similar state of mind, please read the following article. The article is a message for Christians about Donald Trump. He says, I am a Jew turned evangelical Christian. I am also a passionate supporter of Donald Trump. I have a message for Christians who don't like Donald Trump. You're missing the boat. Christians have Trump all wrong. God sends messages in many forms. You're just not listening. God is talking, but your eyes and ears are closed. Here's a famous joke about God and how he talks to us. And I'm not going to read the whole joke. It's about the guy that was out there on stuck on a roof, and it was raining, the water's rising, and rowboat stopped to ask him what if he could help him. He said, "No, I'm waiting on God," and that happened a couple of times. And finally the guy drowned, and he got and talked to God and said, I'm faithful. Why did you let me die? Or why did you let me drown there? And he said, "Well, I sent you two rowboats and a helicopter," or something like that. So he goes on to say, "Did you ever consider Trump as our rowboat? Maybe God is trying to tell us something important, that now is not the time for a nice Christian guy or a gentleman or a typical Republican powder puff. Maybe now is the time for a natural-born killer, a ruthless fighter, a warrior, because right now we need a miracle, or America is finished. Maybe the rules of gentlemen don't apply here. Maybe a gentleman and all-around nice Christian would lead us to slaughter. Or do you want another Mitt Romney, Bob Dole, John McCain, Gerald Ford, or Paul Ryan? Did any of them win? Did they lead the GOP to the promised land? Did they change the direction of America? No. Because if you don't win, you have no say. Paul Ryan couldn't even deliver his own state of Wisconsin. And as leader of the House, Paul Ryan rolls over to Obama like my dog rolls over for a scrap of food or a steak bone. Nice, but obedient. I mean Paul Ryan, not my dog. My dog is actually a pretty good defender and loyal. Maybe God is knocking on your door loudly. Maybe you're not listening. Maybe God understands we need a war leader at this moment in time. Maybe God understands if we don't win this election, America is dead. It's over. The greatest nation in world history will be finished. Gone. Kaput. Adios. And with one last breath, maybe what we need to save, but what we need to save us at the last second is someone different. Someone you haven't experienced before, because you weren't raised in rough and tumble New York where nothing good gets accomplished unless you're combative, aggressive, outrageous, and offensive at all times, and maybe just a tad arrogant too. Someone with a personality you've never seen on stage at your church. Maybe, just maybe, being a nice, gentlemanly Christian would not beat Hillary and her $1 billion and her best friends in the media who will unleash the dogs of hell upon the GOP nominee. I guess you think God is only nice and gentlemanly. Really? Then you've missed the whole point of the Bible. When necessary, God is a pretty tough guy. When necessary, God strikes with pain, death, and destruction. When necessary, God inflicts vengeance. Maybe you think God couldn't possibly be associated with someone like Trump. Trump is too vicious, rude, and crude. When we won World War II, was God nice? Were we gentlemanly when defeating Hitler? Were we gentlemanly when firebombing Germany? Were we gentlemanly when we dropped atomic bombs on Japan? Is God ever nice on the battlefield? Or does he send us vicious SOBs like George Patton so the good guys can defeat evil? It's pretty clear to me that God sends unique people to war leader to be war leaders. That's a different role than a pastor or a church leader. God understands that. And maybe it's time to redefine nice. Maybe Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan aren't nice at all because they led us to defeat. And losing again would mean the end of America. And God can't allow that. Maybe Romney and Ryan mean well, but the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Or maybe they're just jealous they had their chance and blew it. Maybe they'd rather help elect Hillary than allow a Trump victory that would make them look weak, feckless, and incompetent. In Isaiah it says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up their wings with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. God is about miracles. We don't need a nice guy or a gentleman right now. It's the fourth quarter and we're losing 14-0. We need a miracle. So let me repeat my message to Christians. You're missing the boat. I believe Trump is our miracle. I believe Trump is our rowboat, except he's more like a battleship. No one is saying Trump is perfect. No one is saying Trump is a perfect conservative. But he's a patriot. He is a warrior. He's a capitalist. He is the right man at the right time. Yes, he's a bit rude and crude and offensive, but that may make him the perfect warrior to save America and American exceptionalism, capitalism, and Judeo-Christian principles. The choice should be easy for Christians. It's Trump, or it's the end of the American dream. If anything in this article strikes with a positive chord, then pass it on. You know? So I thought that was a pretty neat story. There's several more of them out there. I've never seen anyone get on board with or for a presidential candidate like this before. I think people are tired and they're ready for something different, ready for something new. They're ready to try, they're ready to explore uncharted waters here. And Trump is pretty much uncharted waters. So, won't be too long. We'll see what happens here. We are waiting with bated breath here to get this election over with. And win, lose, or draw, I will be glad to have it over with. All right. Whoops. The dog's starting barking again. All right. Stand by a minute.
Why'd you go and leave me borderline insane? There's no love on this earth worth this much pain. The loneliness surrounds me like a cold dark cloud. I can't hear myself thinking for crying out loud. Look at me, a helpless, hopeless case of endless misery. For crying out loud, what happened to the man who walked so proud? I just can't help myself for crying out loud. Sitting at the table, he once called our own. Maybe I should give it up and go on home. I still feel alone in the middle of a crowd. They all just think I'm crazy for crying out loud. Look at me, a helpless, hopeless case of endless misery. Crying out loud, what happened to the man who walked so proud? I just can't help myself for crying out loud. And I can't eat and I can't sleep for crying out loud.
All right, got that nipped in the bud just in time there. Okay, let's continue to march. You know, there was something that came up here, and I don't think it was Well, yeah, it was. I got that. I got it right here. Stand by. Wow, I hate these ads. Such a passion. Here, it happened just about the time we had our last show here. We had another Code Talker die. This was 5 days ago, and I just got it the day before yesterday. Actually, I got it Wednesday night after the show. This was Major Dan Aki, and he just... Looks like my phone's been hacked now. No, I'm just kidding. Died, he was 96 years old, died in Tuba City, Arizona. And he was not just a Navajo Nation treasure. He was an international treasure, an icon whose service will stand as a testament to the freedom of all Americans. That was the Navajo Nation president, Russell Begay, talking about the... You know, every time one of these Code Talkers die, I feel like that we're, obviously we are losing a little bit of history, but it just seems like a little bit of America goes with them. The story of the Code Talkers was such an amazing story, and I won't spend too much time on it because we've done this, what, four or five times now, talked about the Code Talkers, and they were a turning point in World War II, and just an amazing bunch of folks. But according to a release from the Navajo Nation, he was involved in conflicts on four Pacific islands, including Iwo Jima. He was at the Battle of Iwo Jima when six Marines raised the U.S. flag atop Mount Suribachi. My father always told us to be proud of speaking the Navajo language. Always be careful of the words you speak, as they are sacred. He would warn us. So anyway, and just about all the Code Talkers were from Arizona. There was a few from New Mexico, and I think that's it. I think we were all from Arizona and New Mexico. Of course, the Navajo Reservation doesn't get up into Utah or Colorado any, so that I guess that kind of stands to reason. Well, that's the Oath Keeper's hat there. So, what do you guys feel like we have coming on? How's everybody's pulse beating here? How do you feel what's coming up with the election, with so many other things that seem to be stuff going on with Russia? And the refugees and all this stuff coming to a head, it seems like, right now. Does anybody have any thoughts and feelings about what we're looking at? Do we feel like there's going to be something right at election time? Is it going to wait till January? Is it going to be 6 months down the road if Hillary gets in and gets in here and gets comfortable? What do you think? I do... sincerely hope that Trump gets in there, but at the same time, I think that this is so rigged and so corrupt that it just may not be possible. Looks like I just got a message in here. It says some Europe sites also went down. Looks like they attacked one company, which is the gateway to others going down. And thank you for that. And to top all of this off, there's so much false crap on the internet. Oh, I saw it. It was on a reputable news site. And I don't know. I've thought sometimes if some of this stuff is actually put out by the powers that be, or someone, are they trying to cause division and mislead us and get the infighting due to this unconfirmed or misinformation? Not unconfirmed, it's just misinformation, period. And Kilogram's right. We may have a false flag coming up here just most Ricky Tick any time here. And the false flag could be the internet stuff that's down now, or there may be something even more important than that coming up here in the not too distant future. So we're setting on pins and needles here to see what happens. There's who was it up here just a minute ago? 305 says that, and I believe that. I've said that. I've said it on the air for the last month or so that I think that either way, there's going to be a bunch of stuff happen. Either way, 223, 308, 7.62 with 39, 9mm, 45s, 357s, 40s are all going to go up in price, and then they're going to disappear. Magazines are going to go up to $100 again, and this is all going to happen within literally a few days, no matter who wins. If 305 put it just right there in just a couple of lines. And if Hillary wins, the obvious happens. We've already been told what's going to happen. We know that she's coming after our guns. How she'll go about that exactly, I'm not sure. We saw a congressman in, I think it was Massachusetts, that has introduced some legislation to make it illegal to own an assault-style rifle, period. No cosmetic changes, no nothing. It's just period. Which they're going to have to redefine the assault-style rifle, because if they're not assault rifles if they have certain cosmetic features changed on them, and if they don't do that, then I don't know how they're going to define the guns that they plan to take away. But I think all this is going to hit us here, most Ricky Tick. Yeah, Kilogram, I saw that about the Philippines told the United States to take a hike there. So that could be a little bit of a problem for us as well. So anyway, let me see who we got in. Hey, well, he's probably not there. Looks like he's been on for quite a while. Looks like 99 was with us a while ago. 99's from up there in Ohio. He was looking to try to get us to do a class up there or somewhere on that side of the Mississippi anyway. Still haven't managed to get that done just right, but we're working it. And tonight I had a guy that, hold on just a second. I got an email from a guy tonight that is looking to do a class in Southern California. And that becomes a little bit more difficult with high capacity magazines and all the stuff that they don't like out there. It becomes a little bit scary to go out there and do a class. I would, if you got enough people involved, I would probably go do it. On the one hand, I'd like to say no. If you want to participate in this training, you need to come to America, and I'll be glad to do it. But I'm not going into that state. On the other hand, the more people that we get trained up, and the more people we get on our side, and the more people that learn how to properly defend themselves and dynamically use their weapons, and the better off everybody is. The better off they are, the better off we are. If they decide to ever get a wild hair and decide to take their state back and join the United States again, then I know, I'm kidding. I understand that. But I don't know. If they get enough people, I will go out there and do it. I don't have to like it, but I will. I don't know what part of Southern California. I just got the email about an hour ago, so we'll check and see on that. And we're also going to do another, we haven't got a date set for it yet, but we're also planning on doing another community emergency response and preparedness training class down in the Phoenix area. And that will probably be late November, early December. I'm not sure where that's going to be. We've got people that are looking for a place down there right now to have the class, and that shouldn't be... That should be a good one down there. We've got lots of people to work with down there. So, there you have it. If stand by here for a minute. Dogs are going nuts. I'll be right back. I always did like Pam Tillis, man. I sure did like her daddy stuff, man. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on around here. Also, it has nothing to do with China and Russia. At least I don't think it does. But, you know, after I killed the bear the other night, and then when I told you about the mountain lion across the road right out here in front of the house, about 200 yards down the road, and everybody here, and it may be because of the mountain lion, but everybody in this area says that their dogs are acting very, very strange. And a couple of guys around here are old-time lion hunters, and they said, well, you know, they're acting weird, but they're not acting like it's a lion out there. And, you know, lion, if you learn how to read your dogs, you can pretty well tell what's out there. Listen to them bark. You know, I can listen to my dogs, and I say, well, they're just barking at one of the cats. Or there's a coyote out in the yard, or somebody's driving up. You know, you can tell by the different types of the tone of their bark. And some of these experienced guys around here are saying, I don't know. It's, yeah, maybe it is a chupacabra. That's right. Yeah. I don't know how to, I don't know if that 22 Magnum will take care of that or not. But, these guys are saying that there's something different going on around here. And I have no idea what to make of that. I don't know if there's, you know, I don't know if they're talking about people, you know, space aliens. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. But they just seem a little concerned about what's going on here. And the people that we were talking to tonight that we went and had dinner with, they said, our dogs have never done this before. You know, we had lions in California every once in a while where they're at, and our dogs have never acted this way. But they're not just barking at, you know, the guy goes out with his light and his gun, and he checks around, doesn't find anything. So I don't know. I don't know what the, yeah, it may be, I don't know what the Russians would be doing snooping around here, but you never know. You know. Lots of stuff going on. All right, let's move on here into bigger and better things. And try to. What do you guys think? You got, you know, Friday evenings we have until Liberty Lounge starts. The chat room's a little bit quiet. So tell me what you think. Somebody in the chat room about abandoning. Our first hour on Fridays. I know that the Tres Amigos would like to have a little extra time. It's always hard to get them shut down and get them out of the way there in time sometimes. So they might like to have that extra time. Maybe you guys would like to have that extra time with them. So let me know what you think, and we'll take it under advisement. I want to talk to Amy about it and see what she thinks, and see if we went back, if we took that hour out on Friday and just did Liberty Lounge, you know, from 8 to 10, then we would be the same amount of time that we were before the schedule change. You'll still have 6 hours of Shooting Bench and Liberty Lounge throughout the week. And right now you got 7. You got an extra hour right now. All right. Let me watch the chat room here and see if I can see what's going on. Apparently, you remember when we went to Washington, went to Olympia? On the 13th of December in 2014, big deal. Wow, so many people there. Well, it appears right now, as of today, or the story is today anyway, that they may have gotten their first prosecution on I-594. That's not the interstate. It's a Initiative 594. The law is 2 years old, and that law was put out there to stop, to make personal, private transfers of firearms illegal. Even for most family members, there's a little bit of leeway there for immediate family. But the way the stupid law was written, There's a lot of construction equipment, you know, like ram sets and Hilti guns that couldn't even be transferred from the foreman to a laborer, or from the owner of the company to the foreman, or whatever. Really stupid the way it was written. It was written very hastily and very little thought put into it. And finally, after 2 years, it'll be 2 years in a month and a half here, that they finally got their first prosecution. This, it says, the lengthy, controversial, and at times confusing $10 million universal background check ballot initiative passed by voters in 2014 is seeing its first use in court. Now, it seems funny. Somebody didn't stand up to this, is without going through every detail here, because the day that this deal went on in Olympia, there was probably easily 4,000 felonies committed that day. We have since had two arms expos, and both of those resulted in probably maybe 200-300 felonies committed, and nothing was ever said. The cops are not supporting it, mostly, largely, and it's just, and nothing has happened. So, and the story says, despite open non-compliance, and that's going to, that talks literally about the expo, our expo. Despite open non-compliance in some instances and uncertainty over just what it covers in others, the two-year-old law is seeing its inaugural use by prosecutors. Mark Mercado of Oak Harbor has been charged with unlawful transfer of a firearm. A Phoenix Arms, wow, if you're going to do something, you might as well do something better with it than a Phoenix Arms. I guess if you're going to get it taken away, this is as good a gun as any. The Phoenix Arms is not too great, the little HP-22s. That was used in the murder of a 17-year-old 2 days later. Oh, boy. This, to me, stinks to high heaven. They had one illegal transfer here where the gun was immediately then used in a murder. And, boy, I'll bet they're jumping. See, we told you. We told you not to do this. This is what could happen. Investigators say he sold the gun in a private purchase to David Nunez without getting a background check done through a licensed gun dealer first. Nunez, who was 19 at the time of the sale and unable to buy a handgun under federal law due to his age, is now serving 25 years for his role in the murder. If convicted of the gross misdemeanor, Mercado could see up a year in jail and $5,000 fine. The group who backed I-594 in this election cycle is fronting another ballot measure, argues that the prosecution shows that the law is effective. Yeah, damned if it don't. We got one guy in 2 years, and we have proven that the law is effective. We stood right there and watched 2,200 people commit 4,000 or 5,000 felonies one day while this law was in effect, and nothing happened, but it got one guy, and it proves how good this law is. Unbelievable. The purpose of background checks is to make sure that guns aren't easily obtained by dangerous people. In Washington, we know that at least 100 prohibited possessors haven't been able to buy guns as a direct result of Initiative 594. No, you don't. I don't see how they can tell in any manner. Maybe there's a few that have gone the legal way and done their background stuff and they were denied. I fail to see how this really proves anything. Because how many of them did it illegally, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 in one day, and 200 or 300 or 400 in a weekend, two times in a row, 2 years in a row since then, and they get this one deal, and boy, haven't we done a great thing. Hooray for our side. The seller in this case acted in a dangerous and now illegal way by selling a firearm without a background check. Unfortunately, that decision resulted in tragedy. The police now have a tool to prosecute that seller and hopefully deter future illegal sales.
I
guess there's no use arguing with them. An investigation in March based on public records requests found that 50 gun sales between private individuals had been denied in the 14 months since the expanded background checks law went into effect, and none were prosecuted. Radio host there said this week that the lack of prosecution of I-594 offenses is proof that the anti-gun measure was oversold and misleading. Now, there's a radio host that's got his poop in a group. Am I to believe that only one bad guy aimed to purchase a gun without a background check in the last 2 years? If that's the case, passing this law was hardly as urgent as proponents made it sound. But did the law suddenly stop the transfer of guns to bad guys? Probably not. Second Amendment advocates contend that the law was flawed from the beginning and the sale between these two would have been illegal under federal guidelines even without I-594. And it was. He was, let's see, under federal laws, he transferred the handgun to a guy that was 19 years old, which is not illegal if the state doesn't prohibit it, because many states, Arizona and New Mexico being a couple of them, 18, it's 19 in New Mexico, 18 here, 18 by federal law, that you can own a handgun, you just can't buy one from a dealer. So the only thing that might have been done there, might have been wrong, was that the seller may have known that the guy was a prohibited possessor. He may have known that he was a convicted felon, in which case it was illegal for him to sell the gun to him no matter what. In any case, it was, as hard as this is to believe, it is also illegal for the guy that bought the gun to kill people. Which I guess has nothing to do with the transfer. That's a whole different issue there. Well, at any rate, we'll keep watching that and see what comes of it. If this is the best they can do, I think they've wasted a lot of time and money on nothing here. Our old buddy Alan Gottlieb said, "This proves what we've said all along. The intent of the law was not to fight crime, but to fight gun ownership. It did not stop this murder and has had no effect after 2 years on the books." Not a big fan of Alan Gottlieb, but he's right there. He's 100% right, dead on the money. Alrighty then. We've had all the fun we can stand, so I think what we're going to do is, if we can make the computer work properly, we're going to move on into Liberty Lounge here. Let me check my chat room real quick. See if anything's going on over there. And we got whoever Anonymous is there. According to police reports, Nunez was upset that Johnson borrowed his car and caused it to be impounded by the Washington State Patrol. He asked his friends to help him carry out a hit against Johnson. And furnished Rayford, the shooter, with the gun. There's some more details on the story there. So thank you, Anonymous. We appreciate that. Okay. All right, I'll get caught up on this here in a minute. Let me dive out of here and get everything switched over to where it's supposed to be. And we'll be back here with Liberty Lounge. Give me just a second here.
That's my show for this evening. My goal is to help us remember that there is still good out there. We just need to look for it. Join me next Monday evening at 7 p.m. Pacific for Living Way Out Here.